made possible by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts presenting outside at the Research Park on July 19th, a free performance featuring Alma Afrobeat Ensemble. And they perform dark and intensely danceable African music with an international flair plus food and vendors in an open, relaxed atmosphere. For more information, visit KrannertCenter.com. And now stay tuned for today's episode of Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for a pre-recorded interview with Josh Benton of Charleston Transitional Facility on an upcoming arts and music festival this coming Saturday, June 1st in Charleston, and also a special Memorial Day recording about the Disabled American Veterans, or DAV, which celebrates 100 years of service next year. But first, disability news for the week of May 27th, 2019. A group of investors is looking to use its clout to pressure companies into hiring more people with disabilities. The group, led by New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli and Oregon State Treasurer Tobias Reed, is urging businesses they're invested in to take a series of steps to better include those with disabilities. According to a statement released last week, quote, as investors representing over $1 trillion in assets under management, we believe companies must do more to include people with disabilities in the workforce. We want our portfolio companies to create sustainable long-term value, and this requires a workforce with a wide range of viewpoints, skills, abilities, and experiences, end quote. Specifically, the investors want to see companies adopt several best practices, including creating a disability hiring goal and measuring progress toward that goal, having a senior executive release a public statement of support for a resource group supporting employees with disabilities, and adding disability representation to their diversity and inclusion statement. The joint statement is also signed by New York City Comptroller, the California State Teachers Retirement System, and asset manager Voya Financial, and also Illinois Treasurer Michael Frericks. Ted Kennedy Jr., board chair at the American Association of People with Disabilities, called the investor statement a key turning point. Kennedy said, quote, this new concerted focus on corporate and shareholder engagement and accountability catapults the issue of disability inclusion. Citizens, employees, and shareholders will now be watching how companies respond to this new challenge and which corporations authentically support our goal of economic independence and workforce participation of millions of Americans with disabilities, end quote. Two mothers have gone undercover to weed out misinformed parents sharing dangerous and false autism remedies on Facebook. Melissa Eaton and Amanda Siegler, both of whom have children with autism, said they decided to team up after coming across private online groups where families are encouraging one another to feed their children bleach, turpentine, or even the children's own urine to counter autism. Once they locate those parents, Eaton and Siegler notify child protection agencies in the areas where those abuses are taking place. The two women from North Carolina and Florida, respectively, claim to have brought more than 100 parents to the attention of authorities since starting their campaign 3 years ago. According to Eaton, quote, you have the choice of doing something about it or letting it go, end quote. Eaton and Siegler reportedly became aware of the radical chat groups while seeking to better inform their efforts in raising children with autism. Alarmed, they decided to infiltrate the cliques by posing as desperate parents looking for alternative remedies to cure their kids of autism, for which no cure has been found. Some of their discoveries were actually terrifying. One mom in Kansas reportedly told her online community, quote, "My son is constantly making a gasping sound," quote, end quote, after trying to treat the boy with chlorine dioxide, which is akin to bleach. Eaton and Siegler said they have screenshots of that exchange. A Canadian mother reportedly wrote that her son was refusing to drink his poison. She wrote, quote, "He won't open his mouth. He screams, spits, flips over," end quote. A Georgia mom was targeted by Eaton and Siegler when she posted online that her child with autism was resisting enemas and the instruments she was using to administer chlorine dioxide, quote, "broke in half when JoJo tried to escape," end quote. Siegler said the misguided parents she encountered were like a cult. In addition to working with law enforcement, the crusading moms have reportedly made social media platforms that host these conversations, making people aware of what was going on. According to experts, much of the blame belongs for the misinformation campaign on authors and evangelists with no known medical training who write books and preach about alternative cures. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention's Autism and Developmental Disabilities Monitoring Network reports that autism has been on the rise over the past decade and that 1 in 59 children has been identified with ASD. A man with developmental disabilities in Seattle, Washington, was awarded $8 million from Washington Adult Protective Services. After Vernon Gray's mother passed away in 2001, he continued living in the house where he grew up, but was unable to do so without help. After multiple pleas from neighbors and several inspections of the property that yielded no additional help for Mr. Gray, DSHS spokesman Chris Wright said confidentiality laws prevent the department from discussing details of cases, but in a statement he said the agency is, quote, "sorry for what happened to Mr. Gray," calling the case a, quote, "system-wide failure." Gray's guardian, Chana Copeland, who got the claim going, also hopes the settlement taught the agency a lesson. Copeland's main goal now is to get Gray back home with 24-hour care. He had lost his house in the legal mess. Copeland said, quote, "I want to get his house back. His parents set him up and did everything they possibly could for him. I want to give him what his parents intended him to have. He wants to go home. He's always wanted to go home," end quote. And finally, dozens of disability rights activists, including some in wheelchairs, were arrested near Capitol Hill last Monday while pressing for more access to community-based services. U.S. Capitol Police arrested 80 people who were demonstrating outside the headquarters of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The protesters were with the disability rights group ADAPT, and they were seeking a meeting with Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar to ask that he support adequate funding for Medicaid, discontinue efforts to block grants the program, and back a series of other changes to make services for people with disabilities more available in the community. Said Rhonda Gibson, an organizer with an ADAPT chapter in Massachusetts, quote, "We need to address our current inability to effectively transition people out of nursing facilities and support them in the community. Creating models for more effective transition would involve multiple changes in how these services are authorized and provided," end quote. All of those arrested were charged with crowding or obstructing, according to Eva Malecki with the U.S. Capitol Police. They were all released and can either pay a fine or request a court date for the misdemeanor charge, Malecki said. Separately on Monday, ADAPT activists also occupied the offices of 19 members of the House of Representatives. The group sought to drum up support for the Disability Integration Act, a bill that would ensure that people with disabilities who are eligible for institutional care would also have the right to access those same services in their own homes if they prefer. As a result of that action, some lawmakers did indicate that they would sign on as co-sponsors of the legislation, according to ADAPT. And that's the news for this week.
No matter who your mentors are, it's pretty plain to see. If you've been to jail for justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? I want to shake your hand. Sitting in and lying down are ways
take a stand. Have you sung a song for freedom or march that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by Josh Benton of CTF, otherwise known in this area as Charleston Transitional Facility. And he's on the air today to talk about an event coming up next week that is a part of what the work is that CTF does. So welcome to the program, Josh.
Thank you.
So why don't you introduce yourself first and tell us a little bit about what you do in what is, you know, I think CTF is a pretty big organization, so there are many facets to it, but tell us about your role specifically.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Joshua Benton. I'm the art director here in Charleston for Nine Muses Art Gallery. Here we have an art program that we have our artists come, and they're all artists with intellectual disabilities. They come here Monday through Friday and work and create artwork, and this is what they do for a living. We also have other programs throughout CTF. We have a craft program. We have a sister art program up in Chicago. We also have an advocacy center here in Charleston as well, and this is all about letting our people get out in the community and be part of the community and express themselves.
Okay, so tell me a little bit more about the art gallery. How many folks do you serve there, and what kind of support do these folks get to do their art, to produce their art, to sell it?
Okay, we have 10 people, 10 artists right now. We mostly just try to expose them to every different type of medium of art as possible, and then they get to choose, like, okay, you know, I do watercolor or oils or ceramics. So they get to choose what they work on. We do have group projects and lessons and stuff as such, but they have a lot more control about what they are passionate about and what they want to do. They make their work, and then we help. We have a gallery here. We help price it and catalog it, and then we also go to other festivals throughout the year to sell their work, and they go with us, and they practice their salesmanship, and every sale that they make of their artwork goes directly to them. Like, we don't take any profit or any type of commission off of their work.
Okay, and so is this an alternative to what is typically perceived as a day program? So these folks come and do their work on their art as opposed to going to a sheltered workshop or other kind of day facility.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So this is, you know, we have a storefront. So we have customers that come in, and it is their job to, you know, greet the customer, help the customer out while they're in the gallery, and explain to the customer what they do here and what you
And the storefront's located in Charleston.
Yes, right on the square.
Okay. Now, a little bit more about Charleston Transitional Facility is that it really is kind of a statewide organization, correct?
Correct, yes.
And so what some of the work that you do would include what?
Well, we have facilities up in Chicago. We have facilities down in Albany. So we're very widespread, and we have different programs trying to fit, like, everyone's needs. You know, discover that the like you said, the sheltered DTs just weren't they're not doing anything. So we're trying to get, you know, people much more exposed to the community and let the community be involved as well.
Right. So you're kind of, as an organization, is CTF moving away from the sheltered day program model then?
Correct, yes. We want to have much more like storefronts and things like that, where the, you know, the guys are actually working and making a paycheck, and then they are interacting with the community, and not us in their behalf. Like, you know, we're done. We don't want to be the middleman anymore. We want them to be the ones that, you know, are selling their artwork or selling their crafts or, you know, advocating for themselves through our advocacy center and things like that. And we're just there to help and support.
So talk a little bit about maybe some of the other things that are going on at CTF. I'm assuming from that kind of a direction that you're going that the Nine Muses Gallery is just one of several different things that are happening.
So we have We also have Creative Crafters, which is a craft program. We have another craft program down in Olney, Illinois. We have another art program up in Tinley Park. We also have an advocacy center, and they travel the state and go to Springfield a lot and advocate for rights for people with disabilities as well. And they're on the radio. They have their own podcasts and things as well to kind of get their message out there as well. We do have your traditional vocational jobs and stuff like that that we help provide. We get to help them get jobs out in the community and also contract work as well. That's a little bit more traditional, but we are moving away from more of the classroom style DTs and things like that. So,
right. And so let's talk a little bit about the living situations that people have. I'm assuming you have a number of group homes.
Correct. In Charleston and Mattoon area, we have 13 houses, 8 beds and 4 beds.
Mm-hmm.
We are moving to the 4 bed setup, where it's just a lot more normalized living when you're adults, so you're not having a roommate, and you have your own bedroom and you only have a few roommates.
And are you doing any work in the Champaign-Urbana area these days?
We have one house in the Champaign area. They go to a SEP, but we don't have a DT or anything like that.
And by DT, you mean what?
Day programs.
Yeah, okay. Just, sometimes the jargon can for the listener. So good to know. And so are you doing some job support there as well? Because I know that was happening for a while.
Yes, we have a lot. We work a lot with the state as well and other organizations to help get our guys jobs in the community and everywhere else. Not just so they're not sitting at DT, that they are, working at restaurants or in retail or, anywhere they wish, they want to find a job at. We're willing to help them as much as we can get a job in that field.
Yeah. Okay, great. So tell me a little bit about the big event that you have coming up next week.
Next Saturday, June 1st, we're having our 5th annual Muse Fest. It's a big arts and crafts festival here we have in Charleston on the square. We have about over 40 vendors of arts and crafts and other things. We also have live music featuring Bobby Folks, a Grammy-nominated musician. He'll be here at 2 o'clock, and everything is free. We will also have free things for the kids, like face paintings and things like that. Courtesy of high school students who will do that. And the whole event is free to come down with. It's family oriented. It's going to be a great time. It's from 10 to 4 p.m.
Okay. And so this is open to people who are artists or craft people from the community as a whole, or is it strictly people who are from your program?
No, it's all crafters and artists from the community.
And there, you say there are 40 of those.
We have 40 vendors right now.
Okay. And so what are some of the other activities that will take place? And 10 to 4 is a pretty big span of time. So people have time to look at the different crafts and so forth. What else have you got?
We also have live music throughout the day. Like I said, we'll have local bands playing as well. But 2 o'clock is Bobby Folks.
Mm-hmm. So, pretty well-known band there, for sure. Yep. My husband is very interested in coming. So looking forward to that. And good weather, I'm sure, too, will be helpful. And what other kinds of things? You said face painting for the kids.
Face painting. They're going to have rock painting. Few other little things. I believe we're gonna have inflatables for the kids, and we'll also have food. The food trucks and stuff will be down here as well.
And is this something that you do every year, or is this something new?
No, this is our 5th year doing it.
And so the purpose of it, because it's a free event, is it just awareness for the community, or is it also serve as a fundraiser? Because I'm sure Robbie Folks does not play for free.
No, it's mostly just to kind of give back to the community from CTF. The community run in Charleston here is great. They very open and welcoming to our guys, and really help us out and, you know, help make our guys feel like they're a part of the community. And so this is kind of their way of giving back to the community as well by helping host this event.
Where exactly in Charleston, if there are people coming from Champaign-Urbana area to Charleston to attend this, what sounds like a pretty fun event, where would they go to do that?
It's located in Charleston Square. So if you're coming off of 16, you'll take 7th Street North. And okay. It'll run you right into the square.
And is there information about this event on a website somewhere that you can direct people to?
You can go to ctfillinois.org. That has all the information. Or you can look up the Nine Muses Facebook page. And all the information is on there.
Okay. So what else did I not ask you that you would like to share with the listeners today about yourself, about CTF, about the work that you do?
I just hope everyone comes down and enjoys this great event and, has a good time and, they stop by and hopefully check out, my artist's work.
Okay. Sounds great. Josh Benton of CTF Illinois. Thank you so much for joining me today. Why don't you give that website and Facebook page one more time and then we'll say goodbye.
Check out ctfillinois.org. That's CTF website, or you can check out the Nine Muses Facebook page.
Okay, thanks a lot, Josh, for joining me today.
And just a little bit of music to segue into the next section of the program. Here's a little bit of Robbie Foulkes, who you can hear if you go to Charleston on Saturday. And you are listening to WEFT Disability Beat. Next up is a short informational recording about the Disabled American Veterans Organization, more commonly known as the DAV. Happy Memorial Day to all who have served or know someone who has.
For more than 90 years, one organization has been on the front lines fighting for the rights of men and women who bear the wounds and scars of war. That organization is the Disabled American Veterans, the DAV. Made up exclusively of men and women disabled in our nation's defense, the DAV is dedicated to a single purpose, building better lives for all of our nation's disabled veterans and their families. All of our services are provided free of charge. When the DAV's founders returned home from the trenches of World War I, they found a nation ill-prepared to help them. Though physically and emotionally scarred, they joined together to fight for each other's rights, health care, and jobs training. Today, there are more than 3 million disabled veterans in the United States. And every day, more sick and injured servicemen and women are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan to join their ranks. The DAV is here for our returning veterans and their families to honor their sacrifices and help close the gap between what disabled veterans need and what the government can provide. At the core of our mission is a commitment to service. In offices throughout the United States and in Puerto Rico, professionally trained national service officers provide veterans and their families free counsel and representation with claims for benefits. Each year, DAV service officers help more than 250,000 veterans obtain their earned VA benefits. Veterans who live in areas outside the reach of the Department of Veterans Affairs facilities benefit from DAV's mobile service office outreach program. When disasters strike, mobile service office teams are dispatched as a lifeline to provide immediate monetary assistance and benefits counseling. Additionally, our transition service program provides free benefits counseling and claims assistance for military men and women making the challenging transition to civilian life. The DAV is there to make certain that none of our wounded are left behind. The DAV operates an extensive network of volunteer programs to improve the morale of veterans and give patriotic citizens the opportunity to show their gratitude. Dedicated volunteers contribute more than 1.5 million hours annually at veterans' medical facilities. Volunteers from our nationwide transportation network donate nearly 2 million hours annually, providing free rides to about 750,000 veterans to and from VA hospitals for treatment. Thousands of vans purchased by DAV have been donated to VA hospitals for use in the transportation network. The DAV also offers college scholarships to recognize student volunteers. Through the DAV, celebrities have the opportunity to do their part for our sick and wounded heroes. Our partnership with the National Football League and Major League Baseball encourages professional athletes to visit hospitalized veterans in VA medical centers and raise awareness at ballgames nationwide. The DAV also focuses on the changing issues the veterans community faces and the needs of underserved veterans through our legislative efforts. Advocating on behalf of women veterans, the homeless, and home care providers are among the broad range of initiatives DAV represents year after year in the nation's capital and at the grassroots level. DAV Magazine informs members, lawmakers, and the public about the issues veterans face and our government's policies affecting benefits and services. The DAV's website, www.dav.org, continues that mission and provides instantly updated information to serve the veterans community. Through a variety of special programs, partnerships, and initiatives, DAV is spreading the word about our mission of service and hope. The DAV is a federally incorporated nonprofit organization chartered by Congress in 1932. It is a tax-exempt organization, and contributions made to DAV are tax-deductible according to IRS regulations. In fulfilling our pledge to build better lives for America's disabled veterans and their families, the DAV is supported solely by the American public and by our members. We receive no government funding. DAV spends the bulk of its funds providing direct service to veterans. 76% of total expenses go to direct service programs for veterans and their families. We thank you for your support and for remembering the service and sacrifice of our nation's disabled veterans. Disabled American Veterans is authorized to display the Better Business Bureau Wise Giving Alliance National Charity Seal in recognition of meeting the Alliance's 20 standards for charity accountability. This is who we are and what we do.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email me at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy your Memorial Day or what's left of it, and have a great rest of your week.
No, I'll stand my ground. Be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down.
And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Before we start Rootstock Radio, let's do the art theater listing for this week. Screening daily and based on a true story is Red Joan, starring Judi Dench as a widow living out her retirement in the suburb. until British Secret Service places her under arrest. Joan is charged with providing classified scientific information to the Soviet government for decades. As Joan is interrogated, she relives the events that shaped her life, her physics education at Cambridge, her love affair with a political radical, and the devastation of World War II, which inspired her to risk everything in pursuit of peace. Playing daily through Tuesday is Terry Gilliam's The Man